going to be learning Korach, and maybe more than other years, I'm feeling down between Ba'aloscha and Shlachlacha, between the Misoinanim, between the Misavim, between the Meraglim, and now another parasha of a terrible, terrible failure, this Korach story. It's just a little much. The emes is that I've had some machshavas about this whole sugya of Korach. I want to share it with you. Please realize it comes out of my head. I didn't see it in a sefer, and I can't guarantee that what I'm saying is right. But I'll tell you what I think, because it sort of struck me. This morning, Dafka, I was thinking about it, and it struck me that maybe this is a mehalach, which can be masbir something to us. The emes is, I had another little problem with the Korach sugya, and that is, it seems to be a self-contained story. Why did the Torah record it? Like, what would it have been if the whole story had been missing? What exactly, like, where is its place in that which the Torah wants to convey to us? That's my question. I mean, everything that it says in the Torah, there's a mehalach. There were the Ovos, and then we went to Mitzrayim, and then there was Yitzias Mitzrayim, then there was Matan Torah, and then there was the trek towards Eretz Yisrael, and the Meraglim came in the middle. That's all part of one story. So here it seems to be sort of a hiccup in the middle, that here was this Korach, and he made a terrible machloikas, and this happened, and so what? Why is this story, as a story, important? And the truth is that there's another little nakuda over here, which I think bears mentioning. There's this big machloikas between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, when this story happened. When was Korach like Nesiusa Shel Elitzof and Ben Uziel? So Ibn Ezra has this kashya. If it was the Nesiusa Shel Elitzof and Ben Uziel that made him angry, so then let it tell it to us at the beginning of Bamidbar. That's when it happened. When the Rabban Shem through Moshe Rabbeinu announced that the Nosi of the Bnei Kohath is going to be Elitzof and Ben Uziel. So then Korach should have come along and said, hey, it's not fair. Why over here? So the Ibn Ezra says, no, ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'toira. So Ramban has his whole yesod over here. He says, Ibn Ezra says, ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'toira, every time it suits him. You can't say that. Avada gewiss, there's chronology in the Torah, and dafka chronology determines. When we say ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'toira is that there's certain exceptions. There's a certain exception where a competing cheshbon fights with chronology and says, well, let's say this over here. Mentioned that before, the moshel by the mon, kachlechotz in senes hamon, in Beshalach, there wasn't, and put it by the side of the oran, there wasn't a mishkan yet, there wasn't an oran yet, there wasn't anything yet. So the teretz is that belongs later, after the mishkan had been built. Rebbe Anishim told them, take it in senes hamon and put it there. So why does it bring it in Beshalach? In muktam u'chavatav, meaning, there's a tendency in the Torah that it wants to finish a story, so therefore it'll jump ahead to tell us how the story ended. So the Ramban says, doesn't mean ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'Torah, that chronology has no role to play. Of course chronology has a role to play. Sometimes there are literary cheshbonos or other different kinds of cheshbonos which will trump the need for chronology. So today I was thinking a little bit, let's try and understand Ibn Ezra. So he says, Ein Mukdam U'mu'ucha b'Torah. Ramban, all right, the Ramban says, says it whatever he wants to. I mean, there must also be a mahalach. I mean, Ibn Ezra thought there's no chronology in the Torah. Of course there's chronology. The whole Torah is built on chronology. So there must also be, I assume, there must be a cheshbon. There must be a cheshbon. Can we find a cheshbon why the story of Korach comes over here, according to the Ibn Ezra? So my questions were twofold. The one question was, why bichlal do we need this Maisa in the Torah? There must be another Maisa during the 40 years. So, why does this Maisa Why is it Kaveh Amokam in the Torah? Second of all, why over here? If we're Taka assuming the way the Ramban learns Taka Faker, it happened over here, and the Ramban has a Cheshbon, that's not what we should be saying this Shir about now. But the Ibn Ezra holds, apparently, that a Taka took place earlier, but the Torah shifted it over here. Ein Mukdam Amurcha Batara. Is there a reason? Is there a Mahalach that we can understand why the Torah would have done that? Why would the Torah put it over here? So the emes is, I think that maybe there's a big mahalach. I'll tell you what I think. Again, it's my own thoughts. I can't tell you that it's authoritative. I can't tell you that it says it in a sefer. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'll just share with you what I think. I don't think there's anything terrible about what I'm saying. And you'll decide whether you want to go along with these thoughts or you don't want to go along with these thoughts. I'll tell you what I think. You know, Korach, he had a pretty good taina. What did he say? Ache Abu, dot and there were four, the Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. So, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, okay, they were the sons of Amram, he was the oldest, versteh ich. But Yitzhar is next. So I'm in line for the Nasir of the Beis Kahas, Nasirs. Why does he jump me and give it to Elitzof and Ben Uziel? Now, the emes is that from a certain standpoint, I think that Korach has a taina. Why Taka did Rabban Hashem jump Korach? Are you going to say, Hestus, that Korach was agonished and he didn't deserve it? It doesn't sound that way. Rashi brings the Chazal that Korach maro l'shtus se. So Korach knew that he was the progenitor. One of his descendants was going to be Shmuel. No, Shmuel, 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 Shmuel. And then the Meshoyrim, Haman, the Meshoyrim, that's the Iker Meshoyrim from the Bnei Kohos. So they were all going to be descended from him, and all these daughters, the Meshoyrim. So Korach said, he had heard that the Gesor is in the Rashi over there. It's two texts, that's too long, but the emesis is very interesting how Rashi words it. But let's just take it that Korach said, look, I found out somehow that only one is going to be saved from this whole crowd of people with the 250 ish and so on. It's going to be me, because nobody can look forward to such terrific descendants. So, I mean, was he wrong? I don't think he was wrong. It must have been that Korach was a big Odom Godel, and he had in himself the koichos of which Shmuel was able to develop, and the koichos of which the whole Shiva and the Beis HaMikdash, the Meshoyrim, were going to be coming from him. So why Taka didn't the Rebbe Hashem make him the Nosi Lubdei Kohas? So I want to give a teretz to that, a suggested teretz. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe the Yisoid, which Korach went wrong over here, was that he didn't understand that it was just his gadlus which made the Rebbe Hashem skip him. And the lomdus would be like this. There are two ways of being Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. I suppose that Elohi Yidden want to live their lives, that their lives and what they do and what their functions are, that the whole thing should be mitzuruf with everybody else and should come out a kiddush shem shamayim. Maybe Korach's tafket, was to be megale that kvod shamayim which lies in living with one's disadvantages, with the realization that even not having what I want, if I live with it in the right way and I mekabel it correctly, so that's the biggest kiddush Hashem. In other words, Korach was meusad to a kiddush Hashem, to an avoider, to the Rebbeinu Shloilam, which far exceeded the avoider of Elitzof and Ben Uziel. So he was the Nosi Livnei Kohos. I don't know what entailed. How much covered can there be already? To tell them, look, you carry this, you carry this. I mean, that's the context in which it was said. Maybe it was a big thing, I don't know. We certainly don't hear anything anymore, at least as far as I know, about Elitzof and Ben Uziel. We do hear about Korach, Shmuel comes along. The Emmer says, let's think a moment. What was Shmuel's yesod in his life? How do I know? But the way that Tanakh tells it, Shmuel is where David HaMelech comes from. Shmuel was the Novi whose task it was to be Megale among Yishai's children. So he was supposed to be Megale who the Melech was going to be. He had to find David HaMelech. Well, he didn't find, because he looked, Ha'odam Yirolei Nayim. He saw the other brothers looked more impressive and looked more regal and looked more this and looked more that. And he and Yishai, they'd never even bothered with David. David is a young kid, he's out there with the sheep, like he is not in the running. That's a replay of the Korach story, when you really think about it. Right? That David seems to have been rejected. Shmuel had to be Megale that rejection is not a rejection at all. And Fakert, that is where the emes lies. The emes lies in not being regal, in having all the disadvantages which both Shmuel and Yishai apparently saw in David. And it's there that the Gilui HaKavod of Sefer Tehillim of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam came from where? From the kid whom nobody thinks about and is outside with the sheep. That's a Moir de Gezach. No, what else did Korach see? He saw that the Meshorim, Haman, the Ikka Meshorim of Bnei Kehos were descended from him. All you have to do is to look in Perek Vov over there in Divrei Yom Alev, and you'll see that the Yachas of Haman, of the Meshore, was through Korach, back to Levi. And of course back to Yaakov. So came from Korach. Where is the Ikar Shira of the descendants of Korach? No, the ones which are immortal. That's the sons of Korach sitting on the ledge which the Ribbono Shel Olam made for them. They also were on the side of Korach in the Machlokes, and they also were swallowed up when the earth opened up. But in that second, they suddenly saw the emes. They saw the tshuva. They saw the tshuva. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was making a little platform for them. And from there they said, Shiro ka'ayol ta'aroi galafi kemayim kenafshi taro galecho Hashem. From the distance, dafka from the distance, to long for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be megale the shiro, to be megale the kreves, to be megale the nondkeit that can be in distance. That there is a certain kind of closeness which is nourished by distance. Dafka, because I'm distant, because I'm sitting on a little shelf on the edge of Gehinnom, that's where I see the emeser longing for the Ribbono Shel Olam, which expresses itself in the Shira. So it comes out like this, like forget that this is Tomun in the Chazal. What does Chazal say? Koyach shepikeach hoyom maro l'shtusse. What's the shtus? Like, what are you? He's going to fight the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to fight Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on? The Talmud says, he said, if such great people can be descended from me. So he wasn't oimed on that. I don't know. I mean, how can I say? I'm criticizing Korach's lomdus. It doesn't make much sense. But that seems to be the story that we're being told. It seems to be the story that we're being told is that he missed that point. He didn't understand that there was unbelievable covert. There was unbelievable covert in not being chosen for the Nasi Livnei Kehos. Leave that to Elitzof and Ben Uziel. That's in the Seers, it has its advantages, it has its privileges. Elitzof and Ben Uziel is just right for that. You have a bigger avoider. You have the avoider of being Megale, the Krevos to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which lies in distance. You have the covered, you have privilege of being Megale, that Dafka in distance lies the Yesoid of Krevos. And he didn't chap that. Oy, that's a Moyer de Gezach. You know, I think that there's a big yesod over here. Like, we're talking about Shira. So, who are the best Meshoyrim? Alright, so we know we have the Meshoyrim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim, Haman, also. So the greatest Meshoyrim. You know who the biggest Meshoyrim is, as far as I know? The biggest Meshoyrim, as far as I know, in the world, is in Tehillim Tzadik Gimel. What does it say over there? What's that? Hashem Moloch, Geus Lovesh, Lovesh Hashem Oiz, His Azor, after Kontevel Baltimore. These are difficult psukim, but Nosu Nehores Hashem, Nosu Nehores Koilam, Yisu Nehores Dofyam, Mikoilos Mayim, Rabbe Madirim, Mishpereyam, Adir Bamorim Hashem. The greatest Shira in the world is the Shira of the waters. Nosu Nehores Hashem, Nosu Nehores Koilam, Yisu Nehores Dachyam. Between you and me and the doorpost, I never knew what Dachyam meant. I don't know, I got so old so many years, I never occurred to me to think, what does Dachyam really mean? So when I looked it up this morning in the Mitzvahs, I'm blushing to the roots of my hair, but it suddenly boggles the mind. The Mitzvah says, what is Dachyam? Shatifas Galehem, the force of the waves of the galim. And then the Mitzvah Tzion says, Miloshan Take v'shivron, breaking, v'hem hagalim hakruim mishporim, k'mosh pros avachon mishporecho olay avoro, shemeshabrim mehayam. The waves are breakers. Interestingly, in English also, they call them breakers. Breakers. They smash. So what's going on over there? Kommt doch aus dem Meuredeck. Yisun horos dochyam. The moment of the smashing is the moment when they're saying Shira to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You ever heard of such a thing? That's a replay of the Bnei Koirach. They're sitting on the shelf in Gehinnom. They're sitting on the shelf in Gehinnom and singing the most beautiful Shiras in the world. Nosu Nehores Hashem, Nosu Nehores Koilam, Yisu Nehores Dachyam, Mikoilos Mayim, Rabim Adirim, Mishpereyam, Adir Bamorim Hashem. From the Mishpereyam kumta Reus and Adir Bamorim Hashem. That they, these Mayims, understand that in their breakage, in their lowliness, in their lack of nitzrius, there can also lie a shira, and maybe the greatest shira in the world. See, the emes is that this Mayim story, the Mayim story is very, very much tied into this. Now, I don't know whether there's any reference in the Koirach story to Mayim in this form or that form, not that I know of, and I don't know anything about it now. But we're talking about Shira, that the Meshoyrim, the Iker Meshoyrim, were descended from Koirach. So there was this Koirach over here to sing Zmiros to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as is Mashma from David HaMelech, the Melech who was rejected, in his Tehillim, he is Megale, that the greatest Shira is the Shira of the waters at the moment where they break. Emes is that there's much more than that, because Chazal tell us that on the second day of creation, on the Monday of creation, what was the Monday of creation? Yehi rokiya b'soich hamoyim, v'hi mavdil ben mayim lemoyim. That the bria of the second day was yehi rokiya b'soich hamoyim. That there was a tahoim. In the first verse, you have a choshech al penei sahaim. So there was a tahoim covering the earth. And on the second day of creation, the Rebbeinu Shem said, let's split that tahoim. There's going to be mayim elyonim and there's going to be mayim tachtonim, that's Yehi Rokia B'soich HaMoyim. Now, if you remember the Rashi over there, Rashi says, what does it mean, Yehi Rokia? It means Yischazek Rokia. Because Rokia and Shomayim are the same thing. It says later on in the Pasuk that the Rebbeinu Shem called the Rokia Shomayim. So it was there already on the first day. Shomayim was there on the first day. Bereishis Bo Elokim is Hashomayim V'Soorets. So it was already there, so it's Yischazek HaRokia. Let it be strengthened, let it be firmed. Now what does that mean? So I think, who knows, in Masa Bereishis we don't know what's going on anyway, but I think that what's the firming of that Rokia means, that the division between the Maim HaLyonim and the Maim HaTachtonim, the function of this Rokia seems to have been to divide between the Maim HaLyonim and the Maim HaTachtonim, and that should be Mischazek. It should be that there's no access, that it's an absolute separation. There's a physical world and there's the supraphysical world, and there's no access to from the one to the other. The physical is down here, very, very physical. Was steht in Chazal, that among the things that were created on the second day was Machleikus and Gehinnom. I think the Mephoshim say that the Machleikus, and I guess Gehinnom is part of that, that's where Koirach went, is in that chiluk, that the Maim HaTachtonim felt be'aveled. Anon be'inon le'mehaveka v'malka, Chazal say. See, what's going on over here? That is Koirach. That's a replay of Koirach. Koirach said, Anon be'inon le'mehaveka v'malka also. He said, I want to be the Nosi Livnei Kohas. It's not fair that it was taken away from me. What he didn't realize was, that Fakert, if I'm right, what he didn't realize was, that Fakert, he got the biggest portion. He got his chelek in Gilui Kvod Shomayim lay in the fact that he was not chosen, and he's keilu the Mayim HaTachtonim. And you know, the Mayim HaTachtonim, they got very, very, very mad. Chazal say that when David HaMelech, again David, was digging the Shittim for the Beis HaMikdash, he had been rejected as the builder of the Beis HaMikdash, but he did whatever preparations he was able to make, he made, and he dug the foundations. So he hit the Tohoim, and the Tohoim came and wanted to rise up to drown everything, to drown the entire world. The Mayim HaTachtonim were fighting the Beis HaMikdash. Here you had the Beis HaMikdash. Here you had the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to say Moyer the Gavod in a moment. Keep tuned. It's Moyer in the world, but I want to get there first. So the David HaMelech was trying to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mayim HaTachtonim came up and said, "We're not going to let." The Tohoim wanted to be shoyter of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want the Beis HaMikdash. They were mad. That's Machleikus. How did David HaMelech softened them? He asked the Shaila, and he wrote a shame, and he put the shame into the water, and the water went back quietly like a wave after it's broken, lapping at your feet. What's maybe the mahalach of that? Who knows? I don't know anything these are probably Kabbalistic and Yon, which I really don't know. But what may have been the pshat over here? That throwing the shame into the waters was being megalit to the waters. Don't fight the Beis HaMikdash. Why do I say that? I had this in Meshunah de Gemach Shove. For years and years and years and years and years and years and years, I had in mind always by my Purim Sudim, I always had that one of Rav Chutna Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, his Moirodike Ma'amorim, by the Sudim, Meshunah de Gemach. Anyway, so he had this one of his Ma'amorim centered on the story which Gemara tells in Baba Basra, that by Hurdas, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, so suddenly he had this great idea that he wanted to be metzape the walls in gold. Apparently he was boundlessly wealthy, and he wanted to be metzape the walls with gold. So the Chachomim came along and said, Chas v'Shalom, don't do that. because underneath the gold, if he would have gilded it, so then the marble underneath would have been hidden, of course. You can't see through the gold. And the marble has these lines in it, and they look like waves. The Itvasadiyama. So, or Atvasadiyama, whichever way they pronounce it. The waves. And Chazal say, oi, that's not nice. You don't want to cover up the marble. You've got pictures of waves there. So Rav Hutner asked by his Purim students, what's so great about waves? Where do we find that there's an Indian that the Beis HaMikdash should have waves? Where does this idea come from? So for years and years and years, you hear from Rav Hutner, there's this complaining card. So he said, Moiradek says, what's the segula of a wave? The segula of the wave is that it's so strong, it comes with such koyach, and it lasts a second. 2 seconds later, it's quiet and lapping at your feet, zigonish. This whole of the wave doesn't last. So Rav Hutner says, because they knew already that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be Chorev, it was a terrible time in Klal Yisrael, the Romans were there, it was only a matter of time. So the Chachom understood, yeah, people are going to become Jewish. They know it's going to, what are we supposed to do with this Beis HaMikdash, with the Karbonos, it's going to last another few years, it's already sort of going out of, it's not going to be anymore, so we won't be enthusiastic. So the Chazal said, let's have the waves. By the waves we see that as long as you're there, you use all your koichos. And Rav Hutner, of course, used that with Purim. It's just the anhogos of Purim. It's one day. If you do on next day what you do on Purim, it would be terrible. So, same thing. He says, as long as that day is there, we have to do it with all our koich. Anybody who can hear that, I probably have tapes from it, or nowadays they have discs. It's kedai to hear, especially on Purim. But it suddenly occurred to me that now that I saw this Dochyam, that is what belongs in the Beis HaMikdash. The waves belong into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because that's the shira of the waves. The shira of the waves is that distance can be made into krevas. And isn't that what the Beis HaMikdash is there for? That you take korbanos, you take a mooing ox, and you take the animals and the blood and the this and the that, and everything becomes niskadesh, and that's the mokom of the Ashroas Hashchina. The mokom of the Ashroas Hashchina is where you take the physical, the bodily, and you make kedusha out of it. That is where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be. Now, can there be a better thing than Dochyam? Can there be a better thing than Mishperei Yom? The Chazal was so right. The marble looked like the Atvas Adiyama. This is what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. So you're going to cover that with gold? That is what we're doing over here. What are we doing over here? We're taking Dochyam. We're singing Shira from breakage. It's because the breakage is there that the Shira comes out best. Beis HaMikdash. Because we take these lowly things and bring them up on the Mizbeach, that is why the Beis HaMikdash is what it is. That's the Shira of the breakers. That's the Shira of the waves. That's a really meurige gesagt. So Machloikas came about on the second day because the Maima Tatoinim said Ano Beinon Lemehave Kava Malka. So they didn't like this. They said we're Maima Tatoinim. So what did the Ravanishim say? I listened to them. By the Simchus Beis HaShoeva, they're also going to come up on the Mizbeach. That's a Meirudi Gezach. There's a Loshen in Sfas Emes, and Sfas Emes says if there's a Loile Lamed al Atzma Yotze, Dovash Hoye Bichlal, Yotze Min HaKlal Lamed, Loile Lamed al Atzma Yotze, Loile Lamed HaKlal Kula Yotze. In other words, that little bottle of oil which was used by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's only a bottle. What does it say about water as a group, as a whole? The billions and billions of gallons of water which are all over the world. What's this one little bottle going to say about them? The answer is Loi Lelamed Al Atzma Yotzer, Lelamed Al Klal Kula Yotzer. It means that the distant waters also have the chance to come Kama Malko. And I think that that is the reason. It's also a thing which bothered me always. But I think that maybe that's the Yesod, that we call it Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Simcha did not center around the actual Nisuch HaMayim. The Nisuch HaMayim took place when it came into the Avodah, that now you should be Menasach LeMayim with the Nisuch HaYayin. Nisuch HaMayim is Nisuch, it's an everyday affair. Nisuch, usually it's only with wine, today it's with water, also great. But there wasn't at that moment a special Simcha, as far as I know. The whole Simcha which the Mishnayos describe in such detail is by the She'iva of the Mayim. It's by the She'iva of the Mayim. And I think that that's the moment of the Simcha. The moment of the Simcha, once the water has been in the Skadish and the Klisholes or whatever it is, that's normal. But that you can go to the water which is so far away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you can draw out a little bottle, and all that's needed is to draw it out, and suddenly you have the greatest kreivos of the year, the greatest kedusha of the year. Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Mishleiro Simchas Beis HaShoeva Loisoro Simcha Miyomav. What's so happy about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What's happy about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that it's the gilui of covered mitoich hester, that it's the gilui of closeness mitoich distance. That is what the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is. I wanted to be machiv a little bit more about the waters, but there's really no time for that. But I just want to point out that I think that this is also the key to understanding this terrible, terrible idea of Moshe Rabbeinu that Korach should be swallowed up alive. I mean, why that? In past years, I tried to give some explanations for that, and I think that they're reasonable. But in the context of what we're talking today, I think this is so comforting. I don't know how Korach felt about it when he fell down there. But we know one thing. What's life like down there? So you have the Gemara. This Amora came. I think it was an Amora. And he, this is where Korach was buried. And he put his ear to the ground. And what did he hear? Moshe Emes v'Serosa Emes. Do you know what's happening over here? That's the Kapora of Korach. That he wasn't able to take the distance of our earth and turn it into kreivos. He missed that point. He missed the point that as not being the Nosi B'nei Kehos, that was the mokom for his Kiddush Hashem, for his being Megale Kiddush Hashem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, not all is lost. You're going to go down to Gehinnom, which is really an awful place. And you're going to learn that from there also it's shayach to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. You missed the Kiddush Shem Shamayim of the waters. Nosen Horas Hashem, Nosen Horas Kolam. You could have done that. You could have done that over here by not being the Nosi B'nei Kehos. See, and that is why, what did we ask? We asked, why should the story of Korach be told here? What is the explanation of why over here we said, Ein Mukdem Mucha B'Toyro Koin Lim Nezre. Teretz is Poshet. The Yidden just now in Shlach Lecho, what did they hear? They heard that 40 years they're going to wander in the Midbar and they're going to die. For the next 38 years, all they're going to doing is die, until you disappear, and then we can get on with history. Like, you can't get much more depressed than that. And that's where the story of Korach is. The story of Korach is, turn that into a Kiddush Hashem. Turn your 40 years in the Midbar of rejection. This is rejection on the scale of a Maim HaTachtoinim, who have the rotzen to fight against Kiddush, Chas V'Shalom. And they were, when Bovit HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, they come and they want to be shoytef the Beis HaMikdash. The Ribbono Shel Olam puts a shame there. What does the shame say to them? Waterlich, chill it, you'll be okay. As water, you can also be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. You don't have to go and fight the Beis HaMikdash. You just have a different form of being Mekadesh Shem Shemaim than the Beis HaMikdash has. It doesn't put you out of business. Verkehrt. Mikoilos Mayim Rabim Adirim Mishperayom Adir Baborim Hashem. And you know what? I was medayik this morning. I don't know whether that's right, but you know, once you're in this mode, things occur to you. Adir Baborim Hashem. It's the Mayim HaTachtoinim saying Adir Baborim up there by the Mayim HaElyonim. There the Rebbein Hashem is Adir. I'm not there. How do I know that? The Teretz is because I feel it in my bones. I'm Mayim HaTachtoinim. I'm down here, part of the physical world, and I can say the greatest Shira in the world. And what am I praising with my Shira? The place where I can't be, where the Mayim HaElyonim are. It's Mayim in the world, if you think about it. So if there is some emes to these suggestions, I think that it can sort of relieve our depression a little bit when we get to Pasha's Korach.